that out of my way before I trip over it. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Appreciate your presence. It's good to look out in the audience and see all of you here. We do have a number that are visiting with us, and we're so thankful that you're with us this morning. And if I invite you back anytime, you may have the opportunity to be with us at Market Street. We certainly hope that you will take time to fill out your visitor's card and so we can have a record of your visit and that we might be able to communicate back with you. And, of course, we can stand around and meet you and greet you afterwards. We certainly would like to take the time to get to know you better. If you take your Bibles, it's more likely to take them and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I guess, is where we'll start. We're just going to jump around this morning. We'll look there for our first text this morning. Before we begin, I might remind everyone that our Vacation Bible School is going to begin in the morning at 10 o'clock. And I know many of you may not be able to be here, but if you are here this morning and you are not doing anything tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning and you're breathing, there is a class for you. So don't think, well, this is not for me. No, if you're able to be up and you're able to be about, there's going to be a class here in the morning for you. And so we'd like to see everybody be here. I hope that we will have just a full house, and that would be great. But I'm looking forward to the Vacation Bible School. Appreciate all the work that the teachers have put into it. I know so many of you have helped in different ways, and many of you have been inviting people to come and join us, and I know that we will have a great Vacation Bible School. And I certainly hope that everybody who can will be able to be here and that you will be able to participate in that and that you will benefit from the time we have together this week in our Vacation Bible School through Thursday morning. Fellowship is sharing together. If I were to ask you and I were to say, what do you think about when I say the word fellowship? Well, I would imagine that several of you might have a lot of different things that would come to your mind. Some of you might start thinking about over at Steve Ursary's last night and that delicious, I don't know what that was that Margaret made, but it had so much sugar in it, it had to be good. And you might think about all that we participate in. You might think about other ways in which we have had fellowship, as we've gone out maybe and we have walked and taken invitations and invited people to Vacation Bible School, and we've shared that together as we've done that. Then we might think of fellowship and in so many different ways. We might think about the fellowship and the preaching the gospel. We might think about where Paul talks about having fellowship from the first day until now. And that is communicating. And those people we have fellowship with in supporting the preaching the gospel and helping to their needs. And we might think about fellowship in that way. There are lots of things that we think about when we think and we use the word fellowship. But when we understand the word fellowship is just simply the word sharing. And you know, in the broad sense of the word, as we think about the word sharing, there are lots of things we share in. We can share it together in good times, happy, joyous events. We can share together in difficult times. And we see the scriptures even talk about that idea of those fellowship of the sufferings. We think about sharing together maybe in family relationships. We've all had families and we've had our fellowship within our families. I share things with my brothers and my sister that I don't share with anybody else because that was our family. That was our sharing together. And in the broad sense, we see that. But this morning, I want us to think specifically about fellowship. Fellowship as we see it in the New Testament, as we see it in the first century. What I'm thinking about here is this participating together of people. People in a local congregation involving a common goal, a common commitment to share with one another. They have made it their decision that they are going to work together. And I think when we turn over to 1 Thessalonians, we really see that. We see in verse 1 where Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. And he says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, these are people he is sharing with and preaching the gospel. He is working with them. And he is now writing a letter together with them. He says, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God and the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, here you are, you're the church, you're the people, you're the body of Christ, we've worked among you, you know us, we know you. And you have this fellowship with one another because of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to take your Bibles and turn over now to the fifth chapter, really, and look at the 14th verse, where he goes on and he talks about, well, let's just back up a little bit. He says in verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Do you see the idea there of fellowship? It says, we beseech you, brethren, that you know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. We esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, and see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that the God, your whole spirit and the soul and body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. You know, I read through that text and I see a lot of things that he talks about them doing together among themselves. You know, when I think about the local church, that's what we really see. We see fellowship in the local church. We see it right here at Thessalonica. As a matter of fact, we see in the New Testament, and we are going to look this morning at fellowship in the local church. We're going to see fellowship in the first century. And we need to understand that that is the kind of fellowship people of God ought to have. It ought not be the fellowship that oftentimes people look at and they see fellowship only in their mindset. And there are hindrances to having fellowship oftentimes because people do not understand really the kind of fellowship, the kind of powerful biblical fellowship that the Bible speaks of. So this morning, I want us to notice some things about this powerful fellowship that we learn about in the first century. And the first thing I want to notice with you about this fellowship is that there's something special about each other. When we're in fellowship with one another, there's something special about each other. If you will, now take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Philippians. I'm turning my Bible back to Philippians chapter 1. And as I turn to Philippians chapter 1, I'm looking at verse 3. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as you are meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and my confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is in my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all judgment. You know, when I read this text, I see here he's talking about people that are special. I don't think you can read through that text and not understand that Paul is writing to a group of Christians, a group of people that are in fellowship with one another, the church at Philippi, and they are special people. They're special to Paul. They're special to one another. How do we see it here? But turn back with me to the book of Acts. I'm turning to Acts chapter 20. And as I turn to Acts chapter 20, you remember that this is what Paul is called the elders of Ephesus to come over and to meet him at Miletus. And there he is having a conversation with them. And he's had this conversation and he's drawing it to a close, and the fellowship they have together in the congregation at Ephesus, and the time in which Paul spent together with them in fellowship there at Ephesus. And so he writes, and he says in verse 31, "Therefore watch. Remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, day and night with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I've coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. Yea, ye know yourselves that these hands have ministered into my necessities to them that were with me. I've showed you all things, so that laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Now notice with me verse 36, "And when he had said thus, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorry most of all for the words which he spake, that he should see their face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship." You know, here's people that are special. These people are special to one another. They're not just people that are just going through the motions. And that, well, what do we do? Well, we're going to show up at church. It's Sunday morning. It's time to go to church. We're going to be there for a little while, and then we're going to leave. And we're not going to have to see these people for another week. No, these are special people, you see. These people have a bond. They've been brought together. And you know, when Paul is working among them, he has worked among them. They have worked with him. They have given to one another. They are special. They're special because they're the people of God. They're not just people. They're the people of God. If you will, take your Bibles and turn over with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And here is where I think about the specialness of these people, where Peter is here writing. And he says to these Christians he is writing to, he says, "Lay aside," verse 1, "all malice and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings." Why? That's not what Christians do. Christians don't act like that. Christians don't deal like that. They can't be special when they're people like that, because that's what the world is. He says, "But as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. So you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." He says in verse 5, drop down with me, "You are lively stones, and you are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which hath believed, he is precious. But unto him that disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense, even to them that stumble at his word, he being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." But you're not among those people. You're not among those people who the stone disallowed, who were at the offense. But you are who? You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar people. You are special. You are special. Why? Because you have been called out of darkness and to his marvelous light. You're the people of God. And you know what? When I think about that, that's what we are. We are the people of God. We are special to one another because we're special to God. And when someone is special to God, they're special to us. And we have a relationship. Have you ever gone anywhere, somewhere, and you maybe been on a trip and you've gone to worship services somewhere that you know nobody, you think? You walk in the building, you sit down, and you start talking. And they say, "Where are you from?" And they don't have to ask, you know, let's be perfectly honest. Most of us, if we walk in a building and we're away from here, they hear us start talking and they know probably kind of where we're from. And we'll say, well, we're from Alabama. And they'll say, well, I thought so. I could tell by your accent. You know, well, that's okay. I'm proud of Alabama. And they'll say, where at? And I'll say, Athens. And they'll say, oh, Athens. Well, I know somebody in Athens. And, you know, a lot of times it may be somebody I know. I've had more people come back and tell me about experiences like that where they've gone somewhere that they knew nobody. They didn't think they knew anybody, and all of a sudden they have a conversation. They say, oh, where do you go to church? Well, I go to Market Street. I told you the other Wednesday night class, I was talking about this, and I said, when I went to Barbados the first time, I didn't know people. They said, where are you at? I said, well, I've just moved to Athens, Alabama. I'm preaching for the Market Street Church. And I mean, when I said Market Street Church, it's like all of a sudden there was a connection with me that they had. Why? They didn't know me, but they knew the Market Street Church because they had been involved with the Market Street Church in years gone by. And it was just like antennas. All of a sudden they just, oh, you're it. You're here. Why? Because you are special to them. And that made me special to them. You see, that's what it is. We join together, and we become special because of our relationship in Christ. We need each other. In this relationship, we're special because we need each other. If you will take your Bibles and turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you might put your marker there because we probably will come back here if I don't run out of time. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see these people. As a matter of fact, we might just back up chapter 11 rather. And notice what he is doing. He's writing in chapter 11 about some issues, some problems that they've had. And the issue that they're having here is that they are taking the Lord's Supper and they're not observing it in the way that they ought to as the people of God. They're making it a common meal. They're making it a social event. And he says, you know, what you need to do is you need to go eat in your houses. You have houses to eat in, go eat in those houses. That's not what the Lord's Supper is about. But notice what he says. When he begins this section, he says in verse 70, now I declare unto you, and I praise you not, that when you come together, is not for the better, but for the worse. When you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. You know what he's saying here is he begins this text and he's going there. He says, when you come together, it ought to be for the better. When you come together into a group, an assembly of Christians, it ought to be for the better. Everybody who is a Christian, everybody who gathers together in an assembly of Christians, who joins together in worship and service, praise to God, together. When they leave, they ought to be better. You know what? That's not always the case, though. Sometimes people can go into an assembly of Christians, and the Christians are not as special to one another as they ought to be. They're not as close as they ought to be. There's not the kind of atmosphere there ought to be. And so what do you have? You have people that are sitting there pointing out somebody's deficiencies over on this side of the bed, and they wouldn't dare walk across there and tell them themselves. That's a shame. When you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse, he says. He says, I praise you not. Why? Well, when you come together, you ought to be there for one another. Why do you come together? Well, you come together to exhort one another. You come together to inspire one another. You come together to provoke one another to love and to good works. This is not happening. You're not observing the Lord's Supper in the right way. And when you come together and you're not seeing the need of one another. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, he comes to chapter 12. He comes to chapter 12 and he says, what is there? Well, we got all kinds of problems here. We've got differences among us. We've got people who have different spiritual gifts. And some people think because they have one spiritual gift, they are better than another. He says, this is not the way it is. He says, the body, verse 12, is one. And it has many members, and all members are of one body. Being many, they're one body in Christ. He says, verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. We all had the same start. Whether there be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. We're all one. That's what we ought to be. But you see, there's some people who says, well, I don't need you. So then he goes on. He says, there are problems here. Well, what about this? Well, what about the foot? Verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And the ear, if it shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where is the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, so as it pleased him. God has set them in the place where they ought to be in the body. We're special. But second point I want to make about this, and that is that our relationship, even though it's something that's special, it's something that's difficult to maintain. Because you see, it's just not natural for us to think of somebody as well as I. Or not to point out somebody else's problems. Because you see, what we have a problem with is we have a problem with seeing things from our perspective. Oftentimes, it is very difficult for us to love somebody who is not as lovable as they ought to be. And so oftentimes what we do is we find ourselves truly having a problem with people. And a problem with people because, well, they're just not lovable. And I think about that. I think about, you know, they need to be lovable. And you know, a person who's not lovable doesn't just get to make a pass and say, well, you got to love me even though I'm not lovable. No, that doesn't work. Understand this. If you're not lovable, you need to be lovable. But at the same time, when somebody is not lovable, it doesn't mean that we just sit there and say, well, they're not lovable. I can't get along with them. We love them anyway. Let me give it to you like this. Most of you have been in a family. You've had brothers and sisters. You've had parents. You've had children. Whatever the relationships you've been in that situation. Were you in a family that the relationship you were in, everybody was always lovable like they should have been? Were they always exactly everything they should be? As far as being loved, did they never do anything that the Jew would say, that I just don't agree with that. I can't get along with that. Was there ever those cases where that was found in that family relationship, whatever it was? I'll guarantee you. You have been in a situation where there have been people in your families, in your homes, somewhere in those relationships that have not been lovable. And what'd you do? You loved them anyway. You loved them anyway. It doesn't mean you give them, you just overlook. You try to help them. You go to them, you say, listen, we've got a problem here. We need to work through this. You know why? Because you want to maintain that relationship. That relationship is important, and the relationship needs to be. And so when somebody's lovable, we don't just sit there and say, well, I'm through with him. I'm through with her. I'm not going to have anything else to do with her. No, it's difficult to maintain, but we have to maintain it. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 4. Look with me in verse 7. He says here, John writing, says, beloved, let us love one another. For God is of love. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Do we know God? Do we want to know God? Then we need to love. He that loveth not God knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, ought not we to love one another? God can love me, the pitiful sinner I am. Then can't I love my brother? And he goes on and he says, if we say we love God but love not our brother, How can we love God whom we have not seen when we hate our brother whom we have seen? He says that just doesn't make sense. That's not possible. Our relationship is ought to be built upon an attitude of love for one another. But this is not always the case. We oftentimes do not put away those old problems of the past. The old selfishness that we had, the old attitude and disposition of being stubborn, being ill-willed, being surmising about people's motives, hypocritical in our judgment of another. These things oftentimes crop up again. And what do? If I just say, well, that's just the way I am. No, you need to put that old man away. You need to put that old man to death. So many times, we destroy fellowships and don't maintain these relationships because we major in the minors. We're sitting there and we're looking across at somebody and saying, well, I don't think I would wear that if I was them. Well, maybe they ought not wear that. I don't think I'd fix my hair like that. Not if I was them. I wouldn't wear a suit like that. I wouldn't wear a tie look like that either. Not if I was them. Remember, you're not them. You're not them. We're different. We're in a body. You remember back 1 Corinthians chapter 12? What did it say? He says, the eye cannot say because I'm not of the hand. I'm not. The hand can't say, well, the foot. So, well, what about this? We're not the same. The eye, the ear, the hand, the whole thing. We're not the same. So, you know, when I'm sitting there thinking, well, I wouldn't do that if I was them. Okay. Nobody is making you do that. Nobody's saying you have to wear that tie to come to worship and to be in fellowship. That's not what we're saying. What we are saying is that you got to put the old man, the stubborn attitudes, the hateful dispositions, those things that are wrong have to be done away with. Without those things being done away, the old man of sin reigns in your body. And the old man of sin will separate you from God. And that is the most important fellowship. And it will ultimately disturb your relationship among the people of God. But it's difficult to maintain. Fellowship thrives when God's love is in us. It thrives when God's love is in us. I wish I had more time on this point, but our time is gone. But it thrives when God's love is in us. Many are miserable as they strive to serve God. I regularly hear people that tell me about situations that just make me just shake my head. About situations that they've been a part of or they've seen in the past or whatever the case may be. And I think, what in the world is going on in those environments in which they're telling me about? I've been in situations in my life when I have been sitting in those situations and fellowship was not thriving because love, God's love was not as present in the people as it should. Well, everyone needs to realize God's love is going to thrive when I decide I'm going to put my wishes behind God's. God's will comes first. That's really what it amounts to. I'm going to, as Paul says, as he wrote to the Christians in Rome, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you by the mercy of God that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Being transformed what? Being transformed by the love of God. Letting God's love rule in you. When it's not ruling, you can't be putting on the image of Christ in your life. You can't be going out and talking to people and say, well, I tell you what they're doing down there at the church. I can tell you what they did. Those people down there. That's not the love of God. So what do we need to do? We need to love one another. As Romans chapter 12 goes on and talks about it, he says we need to love one another. We need to honor one another. We need to have a loving, honorable attitude. We need to be humble. That's what he talks about in Romans chapter 12. As he goes down to that text, we need to do these things. And then what we do, we live that kind of life, and therefore God's love will be in us, and fellowship will thrive. But it's not going to thrive because we're all going to be the same. Because see, what we are is we all come from different backgrounds. I'll close with this. Galatians chapter 3 is a very, very important passage. And I think it's one that we would do all well to think about as we think about our fellowship in Christ. As we close, we'll leave this thought. Where Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia, and he's writing to them, and they've got some problems because they've got Christians that have been Jews, and they're Christians who have been Gentiles. And I'm going to tell you, that is a major separation in that first century world. And when he is writing to them, he writes and he says to these churches of Galatia that are comprised of Jews and Gentiles, he says, "For we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." We all are. Not just Jewish Christians. Not just the ones that are like me. Not the ones who stepped to my beat. The ones who have been brought to the faith of Jesus Christ. For as many as us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, that's what it is. It's about these people who've come in faith of Jesus Christ and who he is, and they've submitted themselves to his will, and they've been born again. Ain't got anything to do with the color of the skin. Ain't got anything to do with the kind of hair. Ain't got anything to do with the kind of accent they talk about or don't have or do have. It ain't got anything to do with whether they root for a team that's got red or a team that's got blue. It ain't got anything to do with that. No. It's about this right here. People who've come children of God by faith in Christ Jesus and have put him on. Well, it may be that you're here this morning. And maybe you're saying, well, I'd like to be in fellowship with the people that are special. You know, the first part of the lesson was good. I mean, I think about the specialness of that relationship. I think about that specialness we ended with when it says we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. John writes about that in 1 John chapter 3 when he says, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." Well, what a blessing. Are we called the sons of God? Are we in fellowship with him? If not, won't you come this morning and begin that fellowship? If you need to come this morning in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and be buried with him in baptism, and rise up as a child of God, a new creature, beginning that fellowship with him and with his people. Or if you've done that, you've turned away, you haven't lived like you should, you need to come back, you need to ask for God's strength, God's help, forgiveness of sins from his people and from God himself, then let us know how we can help you. While we stand and sing, won't